The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Boar.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
I'm Trench.
And we're going to talk about some stuff today. We're going to talk about Metal Gear Solid 5, Guitar Hero Live, Jessica Jones, the new series coming to Netflix from Marvel. We're going to talk about some space stuff. Man, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff, guys. Even some new Harry Potter, if for some reason. But we'll get to that. So, Metal Gear Solid 5 has been out for a little bit, but I wanted to wait till Brandon was here to talk about it. You've had some troubles, though. You've had some troubles with PlayStation.
Yeah, I had a really great time playing Metal Gear, and then 50 or 60 hours in, here's what fucking happened, and God, I'm so fucking angry. One morning on a day off, which is rare for me, I turn on my PS4, and I'm like, oh, I want to play Metal Gear 5. I'm going to play the shit out of Metal Gear 5. Play! Oh, you need to do this update before you can use anything on your system. This update that Sony has for the system software. Okay, click. The system restarts and then shuts off. And I'm like, well, that's weird. I turn it back on. Blue light comes on. Shuts off. The fucking software bricked my system. I call the fucking Sony support people, which, by the way, the number took me 30 minutes to fucking find. Call them. They're like, yeah. The software bricked your system, so you're going to have to send it back to us and pay $150 because it's not under warranty. I was like, wait, you just said your own software bricked it, and you want me to pay $150? And like, yeah, and we have to replace the hard drive too, so all your save data will be gone. And I was like flipping my shit at this point. I was like, not only am I losing all of my save data when I just played Mad Max 2 to like complete, almost got 100%. Not only is all that getting wiped out, but they want me to pay $150, wait 2 weeks to get it back. And the guy's like, did you use the USB port to update the system software? I was like, no, who does that? And he's like, yeah, when you downloaded it, something must have happened to your internet and corrupted the file. And then it tried to install the corrupt file. I was like, there's no backup or like precautions to stop that?
Yeah, there should be a checksum.
Well, there isn't,
before
Sony.
Before they install it, they should... Like, all files have basically a signature, and all that they have to do is double-check that that signature is correct before installing it.
They skimped on that.
That would be a complete failure on their part.
Yeah, it is, and they even told me that the software did it, and then made me pay for it. So 2 weeks later...
No, that's bullshit.
2 weeks later, I get my new or whatever the fuck system back, and every save data I have uploaded to the cloud, because it does it automatically, except for Mad Max and Metal Gear Solid 5. I don't know why. Maybe it ran out of room or I didn't set the option. I think there was an update before that that doesn't automatically do it unless you tell it to. So I had to start all over. And that's my experience with Metal Gear Solid 5.
Did you lose PT?
Oh yeah, I lost PT permanently. If for all of you who don't know what PT is, you really missed out on something great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's the funny thing is you go to...
I didn't think it was great. Hashtag unpopular opinions.
If you go to the... Here's the sad part. If you go to the library of everything you've ever downloaded, PT is still there and it has a download symbol. I was like, holy shit. I can still get it. I clicked on it and it just goes, error does not exist. And I'm just like, and I can never get rid of that. It's there, and it's just a constant reminder.
That's
that,
the horror
that,
now.
Yeah, that I will never have PT on my system again. I felt special now. I'm just worth it.
It's always
PT
there.
PT was the secret Silent Hill teaser, playable teaser that Guillermo del Toro and Hideo Kojima created.
That will never exist.
And yeah, now that things have changed for Hideo Kojima and Konami, though, they insist that he still works there.
You know, they said he's just like on a leave of absence or vacation. And I'm like, really? You didn't even put his name on the fucking game. You have to print out a sleeve with his name on it and insert it to like fucking...
You're never going
to
get to walk down those two hallways again.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
I'm really upset about that, actually.
Konami, we haven't mentioned this on the show yet. This is kind of old news at this point, but it's an interesting, weird thing they've done. They're currently not developing any AAA console games except for Pro Evo Soccer.
I don't even give a shit about that.
Well, I mean, it's an internationally acclaimed title if you love soccer, but...
You mean football?
Yeah, in most countries that love it the most, it is football. I think the game's still called soccer there, but I'm not sure, actually. Anyway, so they don't make games anymore. Metal Gear Solid 5 is the last game.
What are you talking about? They're working on a bunch of mobile games, aren't they?
Yeah, they make mobile games, pachinko machines, sure, pachinko. All that stuff.
Well, pachinko's where the money's in.
It is literally where the money is, yeah. Yep. So Konami, there was a rumor a while back, I think we mentioned it on the show, where the Xbox had paid a cool billion to buy Silent Hill from Konami.
Silent Hills.
Well, all of Silent Hill. Oh, the entire whole, like, Silent Hill property, yeah.
That's way more money than that thing's worth. Okay. It's never going to make back $1 billion.
It's a rumor. But at this rate, with Konami actively not making AAA games, I wouldn't be surprised.
They're not going to sell it. Like, they know what they have there. They're not going to sell it.
If there wasn't an offer, at least, because that would be a great first-party title for Xbox.
Yeah, it would.
Hmm.
So, I mean, before all that nonsense happened, I let you play it, opening. How did you feel about it? Was it weird?
Yeah. You had me come over to play the opening to Metal Gear Solid.
The very long opening.
Phantom Pain. And yeah, it was like a good hour-long presentation, and it was crazy. It was fucking crazy. Like, you wake up...
Spoiler alert, by the way. Whatever. Exactly.
I spoil the first hour of the game for you, I guess. Except the first hour is a scene. It's like one long scene, and the real game doesn't even start yet. It's just
skip it?
No.
Well, no, they're okay. You can.
Well, it's fully, it's totally interactive. It's not like you're watching it.
Oh.
Like, it's a fully interactive sequence.
To be fair, there's 20 minutes where you're laying in a hospital bed in a coma, and you just kind of look around at things that are happening around you. But then you slowly find out, like, the doctor comes in when you start getting awake, they all freak out, and like they're just a date, like 20 days later, 10 days later, they show you, like, okay, don't freak out.
28 days later, or there's
it's
zombies?
Like, no, there's just they're like, yeah, okay, look, we want you to look down, like, here's an x-ray of you, now look down, don't get too freaked out, and you're like, you have no arm, and you're like, the heart rate starts beating, the controller starts vibrating, and it's great. And then they show you an x-ray of your skull and your body and all the
shrapnel. My dick's not on the x-ray. Ah! Yeah.
And all the shrapnel and teeth that they couldn't remove from other people's bodies that exploded into you and your skull. It's pretty surreal.
There's a weird thing that happens early on that's super strange where they're like, all right, people are hunting you. So we need to give you plastic surgery to make you look like somebody else.
Okay, that's just Kojima being a dick. It has this whole section of, like, RPG, like, make your own character, where he's like...
Like Skyrim.
Yeah,
like,
it's literally... There is an entire face maker program, like, really detailed. Like, and what it is, the doctor's like, okay, in order for you to survive, you need plastic surgery. And you go, I spent 2 hours creating a face, a name, an identity. Like, you tweak the eyebrows, the jawlines, like, everything. And then after that, he's like, okay, this is what you're going to look like in the future. And they just show a mirror. And then a guy comes in and kills the doctor, and the game begins, and you're like, they never use it. I spent two hours on it. Kojima is a fucking amazing.
I know some people that get really into those stupid, like... No,
he did that on purpose.
In most MMORPGs where they have really in-depth character makers, I know people who will spend, like, hours doing that stuff. They're like, oh, well, this is going to be like this forever, so I have to put so much effort into it, and they'll just sit there and go forever, and... I'm really fast about it, though. I'm just like, okay, that one, done.
Well, I kind of, at
so
some
I,
point...
So I wouldn't have been that, like, crushed, but I know people who would be like, what the fuck? Well, I am done with this game forever.
Cap was working on it, and I was like, Cap, just
don't,
select
don't
something
it,
and
don't
trust me.
You had a theory that it had something to do with multiplayer.
Well, I don't know. I haven't played the multiplayer yet, and it could even have something to do with a random bullshit character later in the game, because I'm still trying to catch up to where I was before.
Right.
So maybe, but the birthday thing does come in,
huh?
And it's an amazing thing, but it only happens on your actual birthday that you entered. And it's
is it a horoscope?
No, it's an amazing cutscene with all the characters, like, singing you happy birthday. Like, here's a spoiler, because fuck it. You basically, if you play the game on your birthday, they're like, Snake, something's up, come back to the base immediately, or boss. And you come back, and you show up, and it's dead silent, and there's no one there. And, like, he pulls out his gun, and he's just like, what the hell? And you start hearing explosions. And he just starts looking around all crazy, like, and there's fireworks. And he's like, what? And then a guy comes out with a boombox, and all the main characters are singing happy birthday. And you're just like, oh, and you start giving them hugs, and they're all laughing at you. And this goes on for, like, 5 minutes. You're all having a good time, and then there's a scene where they have birthday cake with candles on it. And
so did your birthday just happen to happen during this?
Well, I had to look at this online because I didn't know what the hell the birthday thing was about. So no, it didn't happen yet. I'm waiting
another
year. Okay,
I was just wondering if you discovered this on your own or if you found this out some other way.
We're not even done with the scene. There's a scene where he pulls out a real cigar because, you know, with the environmental shit, like, he's using a fake, like, digital.
He's doing a 1980s era cigar
because that's
because the future the timeline for Metal Gear is ridiculous.
Anyway, he loves real cigars, so he goes out to light one, and they smack it out of his hand, or they take it. They're like, no, and he's like, he just sighs, and then the scene, and then you're like, wow, okay, that's cool, but it's over. And then later, it shows him at night, and he's just walking on the oil rig where your base is, and suddenly shots fire at him, and he's like, what the fuck? And he gets behind cover, and then you see one of the sniper characters that you get or not get, depending on how you play, starts just nailing bullets at you, and you turn around, and she has shot into a container behind you.
Oh, God.
Happy birthday, and it opens, and there's just, like, thousands of real cigars, and then you just turn towards the screen and pick one up, and she shoots it and lights it for you, and you just start smoking it on the screen. And what then the hell? Scene is, this is a complete fucking Easter egg bonus scene, and I would never see it, because my birthday's not till, like, June. And yeah, when the hell what am I? I'll be done with the game by then. Yeah, so if you don't play it on that exact day of your birthday that you enter at the beginning of the game, you won't ever see that scene. So go to YouTube. It's really great.
That's ridiculous. And the opener was ridiculous. Like, you're like hobbling through. There's this guy who tries to like extract you, and this whole hospital in some other country is being just killed. Everybody, doctors, patients, everybody, complete massacre by the special forces unit who are looking for you.
Yeah, and you think it's really like, it's like, wow, this is super realistic and fucked up.
And then all of a sudden some specials come in, dude who can control flames.
And I don't know, someone who looks like Psycho Mantis's protege, before.
So specials are some sort of mutant or something.
Yeah, basically, you know,
we don't know.
You know the weird bosses in Metal Gear? Guys like that.
Okay. Yeah.
The convoluted mess that is the Metal Gear Solid universe.
Yeah, the beginning slowly devolves into you on horseback with a shotgun shooting a man made out of flames riding a Pegasus.
Made of flames.
Fire at you and knocking trees down. And then a giant whale jumps up, made of fire, jumps out of the hospital and eats a helicopter.
This is a Metal Gear game?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I played Revengeance.
I don't know what it means.
That one wasn't even that crazy.
I think that perhaps it is existing in their minds and this special can control what they perceive and touch and think is real. I don't know. I haven't gotten to them yet.
Okay.
After 50 hours of my first save game, I still haven't.
But it was wild. I'll say this. This game
is really good.
If you can just play the first hour, do it.
It takes 20 minutes to learn how to walk. You're crawling on the ground, and every time he tries to stand up, it's hilarious. You're like,
do you have to quap?
Yes, actually, almost. No, you don't. You don't. But he'll like grab a bench and just fall, and you're like, you motherfucker. And then you're crawling towards something, and then it explodes, and he knocks on his back, and then you're just crawling with one broken arm, and then you get up, and you're using one arm and a nub to like load a shotgun. It's pretty great.
I haven't played it, but I've been watching Mike Wall play it a little bit. You can walk around your base with your trank gun, and you can shoot your own men and knock them out.
It's training. You get, and they love you for it. Yeah, my favorite thing is when a soldier comes up to you, and he's like, sir, and it says, like, morale's improved, and you punch him in the face and knock him out or something, and then you bring him back, like, and he just gets back up, and he's like, thank you, sir. And like, there's so many hidden things. Like, you can start strangling them, and the longer you hold them, the weirder shit they're saying. They're like, harder, boss. And like, if you wait for minutes holding a guy in submission, they just say, like,
boss, morale's really low. You better go rape a few of the men.
Seriously, that's what it's like. Well, they're like, I love you, boss, and you're strangling him.
The thing about your men is the way you get men for your army or your group that you're building is you like
weather
extract enemies with a weather balloon.
The Fulton system. That's all I was doing yesterday.
So you're not
just making shit
no.
up.
No.
Have you not played
at E3 a couple years ago when they showed this off at first, I still think it's really stupid.
Well, Peacewalker's where you did it originally.
You can attach a weather balloon to anything that's not bolted down in the fucking game and extract it, and it will be deposited to your base.
Not at the beginning, though. You have to work your way up to getting vehicles and cargo containers and weapons.
You have to unlock that weather balloon.
You have to build the technology.
You want some jeeps. You want some
weather
livestock.
Balloon technology.
Weather balloon the shit out of it. And you put it on a guy and be like, huh, what? And then just,
and then all of a sudden he's loyal to you because of that weather balloon.
Well, here's the thing. There's a lot of dynamics to it. There's a lot more than just Fultoning, I don't know, because it's called the Fulton system, away. For instance, sandstorms will affect it. You'll like try to Fulton someone, and it'll say like, Fulton, like extraction failed, and he dies. There's a lot of guys you'll extract will be prisoners and refuse to join you for a very long time, or they'll be injured. And people will hear this. If you do it next to other soldiers, they will see it and be alerted and call
for
reinforcements.
Which is, like, thank God, because at first I thought it was just, like, a magical balloon that, like, no one ever heard.
It is still a magical balloon where you're like, oh, a jeep? Woo! And then you can call that in later and just drop a Jeep out of a fucking, like, plane and use it to drive. Oh, there's a bear over there? Trank it. Send the bear away into the sky. There's all, you end up building a whole platform because, like, an environmental protection agency wants you to protect the animals during, like, a war zone. So you can get, like, crows and birds, and there's all different, like, arboretums and different places. Like, you can get bears, and you can get rams, and you can get, like, donkeys. And you just shoot them in the face with a tranquilizer or knock them out with your fists. And then you just put a balloon on them, and they go, woo!
So you donkey punch, and then you weather balloon.
Yeah, you can't, yeah. So
Fulton system, it's
there
great.
Is a mission to capture like a very rare or legendary bear, which kills you in one hit, and it took me about like 40 trank rounds to knock it out. He ate my horse.
You can play.
Did
as
you weather
your,
balloon it?
Yeah, afterwards.
Good.
You can play as your soldiers, so you don't play boss the whole time.
I didn't figure that out till a long time. You can character select,
but they get like awesome code names from the Metal Gear universe. So you get like
Purple Viper,
shit like
Driving Gorilla. Yeah, like Vampire Shooter. It's like just basically.
Yeah, I usually don't give a crap about Metal Gear games, but this one sounds okay.
It's fucking.
How do you not give a crap about Metal Gear games?
They took the crazy and like turned the dial until it snapped off.
Here's the thing about Metal Gear. You don't have to sneak at all. You can go full on Rambo machine guns. There are like hundreds of weapons you can develop depending on your skill and what like fucking plants and technology and blueprints you find.
Like the first one I
played
was 4.
You can just build machine guns
and
shoot
I didn't
everything.
Like it. I don't know. No. 4 just 4, didn't 4
is
grab
a game
me.
That will slap it's a beautiful game, but it will slap you on the wrist if you're not sneaking.
4 is a movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Like yeah, that was the other part of it, is I didn't like how I was just like, okay.
It was beautiful. It was pretty
dope. I hit a button, and now I have to wait around for an hour.
It did have, like, more cutscenes than gameplay.
Yeah.
But the fifth game, you can, like I said, you don't need to be stealthy. You could just shoot the fuck out of everything and destroy radio systems so they can't call for reinforcements, because it's a huge open map where they're all connected bases.
I did enjoy Revengeance, though, as I previously stated that I played. Have you played that one?
No.
You get full katana control. And you can, like, slice
Oh, is
up
that the one where
enemies.
You play as Raiden?
Yes.
I heard that one's terrible.
It's interesting.
It's a different
it's stupid
gameplay.
Fun.
It's more like an instant gratification type of thing.
So. Yeah, because...
I still want to play it, because that character was good. Sort of.
You pull the spines out of cyborgs and crush them to get...
You could probably do that Metal Gear 5 at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a crazy game that people should play if they, you know, like things that are good. If you don't like things that are good, don't play it. You can be an exception, Boar. You don't have to play anything you don't want to.
That piercing stare.
They can't hear my stare.
They might actually be able to hear your stare.
I saw Gem film.
Was it truly outlandish?
It was truly outlandish.
That's their catchphrase, right?
Yeah, it's truly truly outrageous. And I was ready to hate this movie.
Well,
so are all the critics.
Yeah, I would say every review is just like scathing and angry and pulsing.
The IO9 review was downright inspired the way they were chewing the film like in half. Like they were saying that it was almost Dada like in how little sense it made, and maybe
Dada-like?
It was a study on the art movement of like based in surrealism of meaninglessness. Like this is not a pipe.
God, you have to take an art appreciation class just to understand their review.
Yep.
Yeah, it was pretty highbrow. You wouldn't get it.
So you need to explain to us somehow how you saw this movie differently than everyone else who writes.
Yeah, man. So here's the thing. Like, I really like the original Gem cartoon. It's got glamour, glitter, fashion, fame. It's everything you'd ever want. It's like bright colors, weird fashion. Like it's dorky as hell. It's super cheesy. Like it's like face. There's a lot of facepalm stuff, but like it has charm, and the charm is why you keep coming back to it. And if you're not familiar with the premise of Gem, it's about Jerrica Benton, who she and her sister are orphaned. Her father's dead. She's trying to run her music company. There's a guy named Eric Raymond there, and he's like the bad executive type. And they also care for some orphans because it's totally ridiculous. And
then there's the misfits who randomly show up with a bulldozer and just destroy buildings.
Well, Jerrica and Kimber and their friends find out that Jerrica's dad actually left them a holographic supercomputer that can do anything for them, and also a rockin' roadster, and so they're going to form a band to raise enough money to help take care of
the
orphans.
This is the show, right? Not the movie.
This is the show.
Okay.
Though the movie is similarly ridiculous. And so that's why I think this is the shortest review possible, is that what people who are reviewing the film don't realize is that this movie is actually very true to the spirit of the show in that it's super ridiculous and very cheesy.
Because people don't remember the original show because they're wearing rose-colored goggles. It's a pretty bad... It's not a good show. It's ridiculous and cheesy. And so if the movie's ridiculous and cheesy, that's kind of the same thing.
Is it kind of like how if they made a He-Man movie, everybody would think that it was awful if it kept true to the original He-Man formula?
Well, maybe. I mean, I suppose it's like if as long as He-Man like didn't wear a shirt most of the time and said by the power of Grayskull and Skeletor was there and maybe Man-at-Arms and maybe She-Ra and maybe he turns into a prince that for some reason no one realizes is also He-Man and maybe he does or doesn't ride a giant green cat. Like, you know.
Didn't this happen? I saw that movie. It's real. Dolph Lundgren is He-Man.
It did happen. There was a Masters of the Universe film. It's on Netflix right now.
Isn't Warwick Davis in that? Who played the little guy?
I don't know. I have no idea.
The guy who played the wizard in Willow is who played
the Billy Barty. Did he play Orko?
I'm the amazing Orko. You know what? That's my brain's telling me, but I could be wrong.
I haven't watched it. I haven't taken advantage of this.
Oh,
this
it's Netflix on Netflix. Experience.
Anyway, so this Gem movie, everyone's upset. Like, well, there's no like Synergy is a dumb unicycle robot. And
it's a unicycle.
it's like a monopod unicycle kind of robot thing. Here's the thing: the movie from the trailers looks terrible. It looks like Jem was all about Jerrica pretending to be Jem and getting in a love triangle with this guy Rio who loves Jem and also Jerrica. And oh my god, what do?
Isn't
we
she
have
like
to keep
13
her secret
in the movie.
Well, she is pretty young, and Rio is definitely too old in this movie.
Knows no age in movies.
The film appeared to just be about the band getting suckered into a record contract, and it was like, and it's all based around YouTube and social networking, and it was, there's a certain amount of, let's call it realism, though it is definitely not realism in the movie. And the Misfits weren't in it, and Synergy, people thought wasn't in it for a while, but then turns out it was, but then turns out it's just a weird, stupid, chirping robot in a subplot that is insane, but only as insane as Jem itself is usually insane, because their dad, who died, like, let's say, 10-plus years prior, managed to create a holographic robot that has AI and capabilities well beyond what is available in modern day.
And
Earth.
He kept that shit to himself and used it to record, like, a goodbye message.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and then also excluded Kimber. It was just about Jem.
Was the song she recorded that made her a hit on YouTube at least good?
The songs are not very good in the movie. And she becomes YouTube famous overnight to the point that when she wakes up the next morning, someone's offering her a record contract, which is
conveniently
silly.
After her mom is going, like, broke.
Her aunt, but yeah, her aunt's going broke. Her aunt, who's played by Molly Ringwald. Who's looking very good. Looking very, very good.
When is she not?
I haven't seen her in a while, so it was nice to be reminded about Molly Ringworm.
I see when someone says Molly Ringwald, I picture someone with ringworm in their, like, in their scalp, eating their hair. Anyway.
Juliette Lewis played a female version of Eric Raymond from the show, and she was more insane than the cartoon executive in the show.
So this is better written than the actual cartoon.
No, I mean, like, it's on the same part. It's the thing is, people, this is clearly a movie for young people.
Except that young people are going to be too busy with social media to see it.
There were many kids in this theater when I was watching it. They all seemed to like it a lot. And I think what I propose is that this film could mean as much to kids today as Jem meant to you 30 years ago.
And for me, that is nothing.
Right. That's nothing. It's not
he
for
said
you.
It lived before up to I was my able to.
I was going to say, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so the Misfits are not in the movie?
Hey, spoiler alert, though, I'm sure this is just going to be a reason for you to probably see the film if you had any interest at all. Like, I actually kind of enjoyed it. Like, even it was laughable. It was facepalm worthy. I was snickering during it the whole time. But it wasn't. It was never going to be a good film. Would I want more from a live action Gem? Would I believe that I personally would be capable of creating a concept for a high concept Gem movie? You bet your ass. It would be really fucking cool. The Gem movie in my head is great. It's not this movie, but not even remotely. But it's the Misfits at the end of the movie.
Movie's like a minute left, about to end.
Erica Raymond, she's dethroned. She's kicked out of her business. Jem is super popular, and she's nothing. She's got nobody. So in a post-credit sequence, she rolls up to a skeezy-looking warehouse covered in graffiti, and there's the fucking Misfits. and they're like, oh man, they had us all thinking the Misfits weren't, she's gonna form another band, and this is where the rivalry comes in. I cannot wait for the sequel, holy shit. And on top of that, you just see the three Misfits, but you don't see Pizzazz, the lead Misfit with the green hair, and it's Kesha.
Oh. I want to see the movie just for that. And what does she say? Does she say anything?
Oh, they say, they have the whole, like, we're the Misfits, our songs are better. And then when Kesha finds out, when Pizzazz finds out that Rio's with Jem, she's like freaking out, because I guess they had something.
She takes out her switchblades, like, I'm gonna fucking cut her. And then it just ends.
Basically,
sequel!
Yeah. So, basically, if you want to watch a not, like, a really campy movie for young people, then watch Jem. But it's not the movie you want it to be. It's not the cyberpunk gemsplosion that's in my mind.
Would you say comparatively that this movie is better or worse than any M. Night Shyamalan movie in the past decade?
Man, yeah, anything from Lady in the Water to present, yeah, this is, I mean, at least...
But The Happening! Something happened, and then at the end it didn't happen. That's the movie, actually. So,
I mean, my expectations were never out of whack, but maybe they shouldn't have been for M. Night either, I don't know. But
so better than
I just gotta say, people trash talk The Village, but I like The Village a lot.
I've actually never seen it. Is that the one with Nicolas Cage and bees?
No.
That's okay. Wicker Man.
Sorry, I haven't seen that either.
Not the bees.
The bees.
I've just seen that scene over and over.
Shit, motherfucker. I've been talking a lot. Let's talk about Jessica Jones.
Okay, yeah. I don't know anything about Jessica Jones. I know that's hard to believe.
I don't know a lot about it either. I just know that the trailer looks amazing.
Good talk, guys.
Yeah.
Cap, right. This is your expertise.
And rap.
This show would be called Alias had J.J. Abrams not did a show called Alias 10 years ago.
Who is Jessica Jones?
Jessica Jones is a character who Brian Michael Bendis, one of the major players at Marvel, created, I don't actually remember how long, but like over 10, 15 years ago, basically, when Marvel started taking chances and doing mature reader books, the Marvel Max line specifically. So there's this book called Alias. It's set in the Marvel universe. It's about a down-and-out female PI named Jessica Jones. And the thing is, she has superpowers. And when she was a teenager, she used to be a superhero. So they retroactively added her into the Marvel canon. She went to high school with Peter Parker. She's had a history in the background. She did stuff like in the 70s or so, like as superhero, and some bad things happened.
Wait, so they didn't rewrite her to not be a superhero? She like lost her powers, or
no? She still got them. She just doesn't use them because people got hurt. I will say this: I actually, much to my, I would love to have read Alias, but I missed out on that boat when it was happening, and I've not picked it up. I know Jessica Jones via the thing she's been in since Alias, so I've never read it, unfortunately, but I hear it's great.
So this is a Netflix?
Wait, so Alias really is Jessica Jones?
Yes. Well, no, the J.J. Abrams show Alias has nothing to do with it.
Oh,
okay. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
The comic book was called Alias.
Okay.
Oh.
And it happened before the show happened.
That's confusing, because if I remember, Alias had a similar sort of concept.
Well, he probably ripped it off.
Could be.
I don't know. I'm not really sure.
But yeah, the original teaser trailers that were coming out, like where she smashed the alarm clock and stuff like that, those were interesting. But the newest trailer that they just released is amazing.
So if you're not familiar, Jessica Jones is the next Marvel Netflix show. All the episodes are going to be up November 20th. So just like Daredevil, watch them at your leisure.
I want Daredevil season 2.
Well, it's in production right now.
I'm actually more excited about Jessica Jones than I am about Daredevil season 2.
See, I'm already disappointed because you said she doesn't use her powers anymore because it hurts people, and she just smashed an alarm clock.
Well,
or the alarm clock every day.
I guess what you haven't seen is you haven't seen the full trailer.
No, I haven't. No, you got me, guys.
Yeah, no, there's a full trailer up right now, and she uses her powers, albeit discreetly.
So there's going to be a lot of inner turmoil and struggle throughout the show. Like, I could use my powers and help someone, but I really shouldn't.
She struggles between, like, herself and David Tennant is in it, too.
Oh, my God. There. I'm there. I would do that.
This is the best part. David Tennant plays the Purple Man, which is his street name. It's like a Dick Tracy kind of name, except in the Marvel Universe, he is actually skin-toned purple. I have a feeling that's not going to happen in this universe.
Nah, it doesn't look like it.
Change the RGB on the video.
He is going to probably wear mostly purple, and when he's a mind controller, and when he influences you, there is kind of a purple effect that happens. And he's a scary villain, because his powers of manipulation are immediate and proximity-based in some respects. He can put you in a thrall almost like a vampire and have you doing
what they were showing in the trailer looked exactly like a vampire glamoring type of thing.
I'm a little confused, though, because they did that recently with Agent Carter. There was a villain who could just talk to you, and he was, like, doing something. He would just completely hypnotize you, make you do anything you want. You could walk out into traffic. You could be undercover for, like, months. It kind of sounds similar character. And they're not in the same time period, so I don't...
It does sound similar.
I don't know if their characters are related, like a protege or type deal.
You know, if they are...
It's the same universe.
If they are, I don't know about it. But you're right, that is actually remarkably similar. But Purple Man is actually a power. It's like it's almost an immediate effect. He can just straight up like look at you and you're gone. It's not like the other guy who has to kind of like, you know, manipulate you and actually take the time to hypnotize.
But he does it in like seconds. But yeah, you're right. It's not like instant. But
It's David Tennant, so that's fun.
Well, I'm you got me there. All you had to do was say David Tennant, and I'm going to watch it.
And he looks menacing too, like
in a good way.
And yeah. Luke Cage, who is the character that's the highlight of the next. Marvel Netflix series. Johnny Cage's brother is a main player in this story. So you're already going to get some crossover here.
Johnny Cage and Liu Kang. Liu Cage.
Finish
what?
Him.
Yeah, finish that. That. Finish it. Yeah. It's coincidence?
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess they didn't understand what finish him meant one of the times.
But Nicolas Cage did take his fake last name, Cage, which is not his name, from Luke Cage, the comic book character.
Oh.
So.
I didn't know that wasn't his real name, being a movie actor and all.
No, he's related to, like...
The Baldwins.
Coppola, I want to say. Like, he's related to someone who had influence in Hollywood.
Oh, then they probably made him change his name.
No, he was like, he didn't want to be seen as, you know, a leech, so he changed his name so he could get hired of his own merit.
I'm sure they were thankful for it, whoever it was.
He's a genius, Brandon. He's a genius.
He's one of the greatest actors of our time, and he's underrated. I know. I know this. I've seen a lot of things that he's been in, and they're pretty mediocre. Pretty great. mediocre, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're pretty okay. Extremely okay.
So there's a rumor going around that the fourth Netflix series, Iron Fist, could be...
Canceled?
Either canceled or postponed in favor of a Punisher series.
I don't care about Punisher anymore. Yeah. I'm kind of punished out.
Yeah. Give us something new, please.
There's so many obscure, great heroes and villains they could be doing.
Iron Fist is so different. I do want it more than Punisher. But admittedly... I do want Punisher very much, and I was surprised that when they were making an effort to do the street-level characters that Punisher wasn't first and foremost what they were doing. But he's going to be in Daredevil Season 2, so we'll see how it plays out, and that is just a rumor. So.
I don't know. You could probably give me a list of 20 random superheroes, and if Punisher was on that list, I would still probably want to see all the other 19 before a Punisher series.
Guys, I want a new Spawn series.
Yes, exactly. Spawn would be
been
fucking
time.
Amazing.
It's time since that one with John Leguizamo. It's been long enough.
Right, and we have the technology to make a proper good. Devil now.
Yeah, so I think it's
Man,
time.
Not but, blow all the budget on one scene.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that a Spawn thing could be good in another medium, but the fact is at that least, Spawn yeah. as a comic has only been good once ever in its entire run.
When was that?
When David Hein wrote it, several years ago.
So let's just do that arc. Done.
Yeah.
But Todd McFarlane, once he saw that the sales had picked up from that, and this is just me reading the situation. This is my own opinion. But as soon as I never read Spawn. I read Spawn and I decided this is crap. I never want to read it. And then Hein started and I read it and I was like, I actually loved it enough. I was buying Spawn. I was getting it every month and I was looking forward to it. That should never have happened based on Spawn's prior track record, in my opinion of it. But I loved it. And then that run ended. Old Todd McFarlane thought, shit, Spawn's hot shit again. I got to get back on this book. And it was ruined in no time flat. It was just like a steaming pile of shit.
You know what I miss that no one does anymore? Back when Spawn, the animated one, was on, the animated show was on.
I never saw that. Was it any good?
I can't remember. My brain tells me it is.
I never watched it either.
But yeah. My brain tells me it was really great at the time. But I really don't know. But at the beginning, because I think it was on HBO, before every episode, McFarlane would... would have a really funny intro where he'd like be next to like a gargoyle and be like in the dark. I think I did watch that a couple of times. Story of life, and he looked like a D-bag, and it was hilarious.
He is a D-bag.
You could probably find all the scenes online, but that's people don't do that enough. Like Daredevil should have that before every episode.
Yeah, Stan Lee. Like, let me tell you about one of my special characters.
South Park videos used to have that. Like when you'd buy the sets.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they used to. Matt and Trey Parker used to put on like really ridiculous intros to every single episode. They would be like
live.
This
action.
Next episode is our favorite episode,
and they would say that
every single time.
Two side notes. One, I love their response to Yelp suing them.
Oh God, yeah.
Threatening to sue them.
That was totally fake.
Really?
The entire thing was fake.
Oh,
you mean the whole lawsuit?
It was on a satirical website.
Damn it.
It got picked up as actual news. I was fooled too.
Man, well, whatever website first thought it was news and published that, they're fucked.
Well then.
A lot of people had to post like updates.
That letter of response that is, I guess, faked was really great.
It was the whole thing was super convincing. So.
We give the lawyers like 2 stars.
Bad
presentation.
Yeah, I
love how Brandon refers to his brain as an entirely separate entity from himself.
Do I? Oh, shit, do I do that? What did I do?
My brain tells me it was good, but I'm not sure.
I'm not even aware that I... Guys, I think I have a disorder. I don't even know who I am anymore.
Are we talking to you or your brain right now?
Fuck if I know.
We got a copy of Guitar Hero Live mailed to us from Activision. I'll have a review out sooner or later. Maybe it's even out by the time
we... I got my hands on that right away.
Yeah, you did. You unboxed it. Have you, the listener, been watching Boar's unboxing videos? They're interesting.
Listening to his unboxing videos?
I mean, I've seen unboxing videos in the past. Like, I think I watched one or two for research, and then I just started my own unboxings. Like, I got the idea of it, and you pull things out of a box, you display them, show how durable they are, talk about the packaging. You know, it's good, I think. I think we're learning a lot.
There's a certain amount of in-depth investigation that you provide that I think is unique and interesting. I
just do what feels right.
Yeah. And sometimes what feels right for your mouth. So
and what I think people need to know about a product.
Yeah.
Would you say that you ask the hard questions?
Right. Yeah. I ask the hard questions.
This video sounds great. One day I'm going to watch it.
So we've been doing a few of those. We unboxed the Guitar Hero live guitar 2-pack because they actually have a version that comes with a box where you get 2 guitars and the game in one box.
What did you guys get?
That one. Well, that was what we were provided.
You got 2 guitars?
Yes, 2 guitars.
Cool.
In one box.
You can duel
and those are the newer guitars that have like the 3 buttons and then, like another layer down below.
Yeah, the 6-button guitar thing. So if we've kind of gone over this a little bit because we talked about Rock Band last episode we did. And Rock Band is my preferred method of rocking out to video games. But Guitar Hero, what they've done with this that I think is super interesting is that they kind of acknowledge that after Harmonix left the Guitar Hero franchise, they became a rhythm game and nothing more exactly. Mm-hmm. And so now they are wearing that on their sleeve. Like they've designed a new controller that's less like playing an actual guitar, but is easier to pick up. And extremely challenging, though,
So they finally, basically, what you're saying is accepted the fact that, oh, we are a rhythm game, let's take ownership of that
and
do something great with
it. They're with a new studio, they started from scratch, and the actual gameplay itself...
It's so weird
it's,
looking.
It's the same, but visually, super innovative.
Yeah, it's way different from before. You know, I mean, the old Guitar Hero games, it was just, you know... 3D models on a stage playing a show.
Goofy, now it's kind just, of cartoony.
Yeah, kind of cartoony, songs, caricature-y, generic. I should say generic, probably.
You play as the goth guy, you play as the devil. Or, you know.
Yeah.
Can you explain the different modes of play? Because I saw you doing one, and it blew my fucking mind, actually. Like, well, I saw 2 different modes.
And you played a little bit of it at E3.
Yeah, I played the one where you're with an... They filmed an actual cover band... performing these songs. Like they're actually performing the songs?
Yeah, there's 2 modes of gameplay. There's Guitar Hero Live and there's Guitar Hero TV. And Guitar Hero Live puts you in a first-person perspective with a band on a stage.
With an audience.
With an audience. A live audience. And they did actually film the whole thing. And
multiple times.
But yeah, and it changes based on how well you're playing or how poorly you're playing.
So if you're suddenly sucking, the drummer will like look at you and be like...
And the audience gets mad too.
Yeah. And
they
like,
throw shit at you.
And there's a lot of extras in that. So it took a long time, I'm sure, to film
The roadie that's like, good job, man.
The video is really well done, though.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I was pretty impressed.
Like, there's multiple videos for each, because their mouth moves to the song. Like, at least the singer, it looked like he was mouth.
Yeah.
So they're all different.
Like, they've basically, like, you know how with Rock Band and previous Guitar Hero games, you just download more songs, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you're going to be able to download more songs for the main game.
But that's why they invented the other mode.
You could, but maybe. You might be able
to. It's just bigger.
With this game, basically, you choose a music festival, and then you choose a performance at a different stage at that music festival, and you hear like radio commenters talking about the festival during the load scenes, and you see people tweeting about it in the load scenes that are not real tweets. They're like, they'll also evaluate your performance, like, oh man, I was so excited, but they really let me down tonight.
And why is it the guitarist that's always on point or completely off point?
Yeah, everyone else is perfect.
Yeah,
but guitarist. So
they perform, like, they'll play a fake band. There's this band called Portland something something, and they look like some weird,
was that the hippie band?
Yeah, weird alternate reality version of Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros with a guy in a panda costume, and you're out on the stage doing all these kind of Summer of Love sounding sort of modern folk rock Mumfordy sounding songs, and
Mumfordy,
and they're having a lovely old time, unless you fuck up, and the drummer gets so
there was
mad.
A lady playing the tambourine.
There was two of them with tambourines.
You just put your guitar down.
She spikes the tambourine on that cymbal.
She just stares at you, and she's just snarling. She just fucking hits the cymbal.
But I love that we're watching Cat play it, and all of a sudden he starts playing really well, and then everybody gets really happy.
He's like, yeah, but watch this. Star power.
Yeah, and they phase between the video with sort of like an acid trippy, like you're just kind of like, I don't know, like from your perspective, you just kind of like black out for half of a second, and then
it's like doing drugs. Like a motion blur to some degree.
Yeah, it kind of melds the two scenes together,
so
but it does look like you're tripping on something for a second. Like,
so hold on,
I'm in an alternate
out.
Reality where everything sucks.
So that mode is amazing, but you know, given enough time, they could do it. I don't understand quite clearly the other mode of play, though.
Right, the other mode is Guitar Hero TV, and this is like I've been saying, like, this game is fun. If you want a good rhythm game, go for it. If you want the communal band experience, that's still Rock Band, and that's still the format that you know and love, and that's still my preferred format. But I'm really blown away by what these guys have done as far as like doing things differently, because Guitar Hero TV is a 24/7 music video network, the likes of which hasn't existed since MTV said sayonara to music videos. This is, you can leave it on, and the genre of music changes over two different rotating channels every 30 minutes. It'll just play music videos, and you can pick up your guitar at any time and start playing along with it and get points and earn levels. And
it'll show you like how well someone else is doing on the same song. Like I saw that on the side.
Yeah.
Like you're beating these five other people, but these other people are beating you.
Yeah, you're competing against a global leaderboard, which is something they had in Rock Band 3.
So could you just leave that on all day, like 24/7?
Yeah.
And it would just be playing music videos and songs? And it just changes that
often. Yeah, and actually in the few days since it launched, I've seen more songs get added.
God, how are you going to maintain that
continually going? I don't know. I mean, it'll probably stop someday, but
is the DJ commentary when you're doing that? Because I sort of heard that. Is that real?
The DJ commentary stuff, that's only the radio announcers in.
So that's like stage. That's obviously.
Yeah, that's in the other mode. That's in Guitar Hero Live.
Okay.
But this one, there's no VJs or anything. There's a little bit of like segues every now and then. You'll be like, you're watching two, because there's channel one, there's channel two, and here's some other videos that have just become available.
But it's cool. It's kind of like what MTV was back in the day.
Yeah,
it's like a modern MTV.
Are you able to just pick a song and play it,
though? Yeah, you are.
Oh,
as
okay.
As you play it, you earn plays, and you can play on demand, or you also earn points, and you can cash in those points.
That was the only
points.
Thing that was bugging me about it, because I was like, well, if this is going constantly, like,
if I come in
like halfway through a song that I want to play.
Yeah, like, how do you start over? I'm sure there's like a button. Like,
so you can buy more plays with either actual money or in-game points.
Microtransactions.
However, you earn points so easily, you never, ever need to throw down your own money for this.
Well, that's a bad business model, then. They should make points,
but
like,
they were
10
well,
days at one point.
They were well aware of this, and they told us at E3 that they don't expect anybody to ever actually throw down cash for it. And I don't know why they're doing that, but
because
it's really
the option
cool.
is there. Someone's like, you know what? Fuck it, I'm buying everything. They could.
So, they could. And
yeah, that sounds like an unnecessary add-on. Like
they have some stuff that's like really, really. There's a lot of tracks that are already in Rock Band. There's a lot of tracks that aren't in Rock Band. There's a lot of tracks that are so modern and so poppy that I don't care for them. And there's a lot of stuff that surprised me.
Baby
Metal. They got a track. Now that's still that's Rock Band.
No, I know. I'm really excited about Baby Metal.
But Guitar Hero Live has a track off the most recent David Bowie record, and that's really surprising to me. So,
and he's coming out with another one soon. They'll get that.
He's coming out with a new record in January, which David Bowie himself calls his oddest record of all time.
That's going to be weird.
I'm super excited. But anyway, so Guitar Hero, super interesting experience. If you like rhythm games, then it's for you. And the thing with the reason you have two guitars is there's the Guitar Hero Live is not multiplayer. At least I don't think it is, but during Guitar Hero TV, you and another guy, you just pick up a guitar.
Or girl.
Just anybody. I mean, when I say guy, it's like, hey, what's up, guy?
I know.
How you doing,
I
buddy?
Know.
Right.
Friend?
I'm not your buddy, friend. But, you know, like, you can just, two guitars playing, sure, whatever, it doesn't matter. And if you have a USB microphone plugged in, sing along. They got a vocal thing. They'll give you a score. It doesn't matter. It'll add to your total of how many plays you earn. But, like, it doesn't matter. Just do whatever. It's just a fun game because, like, it's really ready to go for parties. Turn on Guitar Hero TV, let it play. Anybody can jump in, pick up a guitar, sing on the mic, whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point. It eliminates a lot of the, what song do we pick?
Yeah. So hopefully you like it because you're going to be listening to that genre of music for 30 minutes, but only 30 minutes. And you can always switch to the other genre.
I don't really like Imagine Dragons. I heard a lot of that, but you don't have to play Imagine
Dragons.
There's
a lot of music like that. And it's there. If you're,
they don't even sing about dragons.
Look at the music library. There's going to be some tracks you're probably going to like, and there might be a lot of tracks that you don't like. I personally see there's more stuff that I like in Rock Band.
And, yeah, that's true.
But then, like I said, there were some surprises.
So I did play the new Guitar Hero E3, and it was actually really fun. And you know, you have like the black notes which point up.
Yeah, black notes
and then
the
white notes point down, and they show like which keys you should use, like the top or bottom. It was actually a really fun rhythm game.
It is hard.
And I hate playing the guitar. And it was really hard. But it was fun because it wasn't like trying to play the guitar. It was like playing a game. So didn't have to get too emotionally invested in that. So it was great. I could just stop anytime I want. But with Rock Band 4, with the drums, like, no, I've got to learn how to play the fucking drums. But it's a different experience. It's a learning experience versus like instant gratification almost.
Right. Yeah.
Not that it's not fun to play Rock Band. It's more of an yeah.
Yeah. I'm very invested in Rock Band on an emotional level.
Like you want
and a financial level.
And a financial level, yeah. At this point, yes.
That's what got your Xbox
That's why
One.
I chose Xbox over PlayStation, because I needed to access my past Rock Band songs.
I wonder how much it would have cost to not, like, if you had to start all over again.
Oh.
A lot, exactly.
Let's not even think about
that. You could have bought both systems for that
Tens
money.
Tens of dollars.
Yeah. At least.
On a completely different subject, let's move to something very, very different. There is a star out there between the constellations of Cygnus and Lyra.
The star has a name? Jesus.
Yeah, they're right. Your star does have a name.
It's KIC 8462852. Get it right.
Well, we're going to name it Little Brandon.
It's actually bigger than the sun. Well, ours. Yeah.
Yeah?
So it's a bit bigger.
We'll call it
the exact
Big Brandon.
I'm called that too sometimes. Either one will do.
This star is 454 parsecs away, which is roughly 1,480 light years.
How fast can the Millennium Falcon do a parsec? Oh, wait, never mind. Sorry.
And this star is very, very strange.
It's not that strange.
Well,
look, first off, this thing is like almost 1,500 light years away, right?
Right.
So one light year is like 5.8 trillion miles. So this thing is 8,800 trillion miles away.
I think I actually looked up how it would relate to, like, how long it would take to get there from a Star Trek vehicle.
Oh.
Like, how long would it take the Enterprise to get there?
Warp drive, right?
At, like, warp 9, and it would be, like, 20 years.
Yeah, so it's crazy.
How many dilithium crystals would that consume?
You would need at least 12.
And warp 9 is, like, so much faster than the speed of light.
Yeah, and so basically, the story with this star is you've got the Kepler telescope, right? That is busy scanning the sky for exoplanets, which I guess are planets that are the good right distance from a star,
yeah,
so that they may harbor life, like right. other planets we could go to.
Which it judges by if in moments when the star blinks out because something's passed in yeah. front of it.
And you can't see this, you know, with your naked eye, obviously.
So it could be an asteroid belt.
No, because
they've ruled that out.
Here's really? The thing. Asteroid belts and certain rock formations and things will show up in infrared. None of this is showing up in infrared at all. And they were like, oh, if it's a really young star, there'll be this like thing
called... Well, I guess we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
There are objects in front of this thing that do not make any sense. Go on.
Well, 2009, they saw a weird pattern that shouldn't have existed, or like a flicker, and they thought it was like a malfunction, like, oh, the telescope was moving or the spacecraft was moving or they were just getting the data wrong. And then in 2013... I'll just skip that one. But basically, they saw that the light was doing weird patterns again recently, and they figured out that there's something like 20% the size of that star that is blocking like 20% of the light. There's a huge object.
It's like a planet.
And they were, well, what they were saying is it can't be. If the star is really young, then there would be like, there's this thing.
A debris
yeah.
field.
Yeah, there's this thing called a protoplanetary disk that forms around really new formed stars, like debris. If it's really old, things get sucked into its gravitational pull. So whatever this object is relatively new because it's an old star. So the theory goes is that, you know, it's an odd shape. What we're seeing is either, you know, 1400 or 1500 years in the past from what we can tell. And
because of the way that light behaves.
Yeah, and SETI hears this and goes ballistic and goes, aliens. They're like,
yeah. I'm not saying it's aliens.
They're like, it's a weird shaped object. Obviously, it's a Dyson sphere. So they're thinking, or Dyson swarm.
Dyson sphere doesn't make any sense because then we wouldn't be able to detect anything.
Well, here's the thing. They're thinking that it's either, it's not something
like
that's being built because there's no infrared picking up that there's any like heat or whatever coming off of it. They're saying that this civilization that we're seeing 1400 years ago, if it was a real civilization, it's already dead and gone. This thing they built is just the debris left over. There's no infrared spectrum. They can't detect anything from it. They can just see it.
So maybe it's a busted up Dyson sphere?
Or Dyson swarm, which is like a bunch of ships connected. It's kind of like the Nova ships in Guardians.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. That's a better thing than Dyson sphere now.
They have a whole bunch of things that they were saying before aliens. But the thing is, the reason that aliens come up is not just because it seems possible, but also because the other explanations for what it could be within our own realm of science as we understand it, they're just not good explanations.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to call BS on the alien myth.
Why?
Here's my theory.
I mean, I totally think that aliens are definitely out there somewhere because it's just statistically stupid to think that they're not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But...
Well, my theory, and it's just I don't know anything, you know, about astrophysics at all, just what Papa Tyson teaches me. But here's the thing. There are billions of stars, right? At least in our own galaxy alone.
That we can see.
Yeah, there are billions in ours, okay? So the Kepler's only seeing thousands, and we're seeing one star. It is not hard to believe that we're seeing something we've never seen before that exists naturally out there. We've only looked at like a handful of stars in billions and billions in our galaxy.
We haven't even looked at a fraction of, you know, even a 0.00001%.
So we are looking at one in 150,000 stars.
Yes.
This is the only one that's
doing
this.
But you have to realize that 150,000 means nothing in space.
Yeah,
that
on
is
a cosmic scale, that's still really small.
And to think that, oh, this is something crazy that we've never seen before, it must be alien, is absurd. There's so much we don't even know about our own planet that to think we couldn't discover something that exists naturally like that is absurd in the grand like scope of the universe.
Oh, yes.
Of course we're going to find crazy shit we've never seen before.
I will never argue that we don't know nothing.
However, I think it's really cool that it's a derelict civilization that's long since dead.
Yeah, my first reaction was Halo Ring.
It could be a really gigantic space organism.
It could be a dead husk of a thing, but like I said, infrared shows like nothing.
Our other options for what it is are instrumental defects, the shrapnel from an asteroid belt pileup, an impact of a planetary scale like the one that created our moon, and then their best explanation is in the strange freak event that another star passed through the system, it could have yanked a sea of comets inward. Provided there were enough of them, the comets could have made a dimming pattern.
Yeah, but they would have been, I feel like they would have been sucked in. The comets would show up in infrared. That's what they're saying, is the comets, asteroids, meteors, other planets, they show up on infrared.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's...
These are dark. There's no infrared.
That's they why only, that's why it's so easy for everybody to leap to the
They only knew that 20% of the sun at weird irregular patterns that don't make sense for a normal orbit are being blocked out by this object that is huge. And it's either, it should be sucked into the sun by now, and it's not emitting anything they can see with infrared. So it is a mystery. I have no idea what it is. It's past our level of science. But because of this, so many new things are going to be discovered. They're going to try to invent and create things to see what this actually is now.
Yeah.
Now
great. We have an observable point to investigate.
Yeah.
So in January, they're pointing a very massive radio dish at it to see if it emits radio waves of any kind or frequencies that could be associated with technological activity. And if there's enough of it, they're going to go to the very large array in New Mexico and ping that as well and just keep throwing things at it if they keep getting enough
leads. I mean, I have problems with trying to sense radio waves too, because if this is like a crazy advanced civilization, they could be using something we don't even know exists
yet. Yeah, in 1,500 years, they might come for us.
I mean, if we're looking at something that's 14 or 1,500 years in the past, they're already
on the way. Yeah.
If they're able to build an object that huge that doesn't get pulled into the sun, then their technology is on a level we can't even fathom. So I think there could be something other than radio waves that we wouldn't even be able to detect with our current technology. And to say otherwise that that's not possible is bullshit.
Well, you know,
in my opinion,
you're talking about subspace.
Yes.
We've been sending out our own frequencies for a very, very long time, incidentally and on purpose. So there's plenty of margins by which if we pointed something out there, we should be able to get something on some frequency.
You would think.
If there was...
Except,
aliens.
And I learned this, we only use like one frequency at a time, and there's tons of frequencies. They pick the one they think is the best, but they don't check all the frequencies at once. They can't do that. So we could be missing the frequency and not hearing it.
Well, hopefully they'll cycle through all the available frequencies.
But also my other beef with this, if I may.
Lay your beef down.
Is that if a civilization did exist and was that advanced, like I said, that they could make something that huge. And by the way, something that big would be way bigger than our Earth.
Like, yeah, where are you getting all that ore?
Yeah, exactly. They must have other.
How many planets did you destroy
Seriously,
to make this thing?
It's more than an Earth's worth of planets. It's more than 1,000 Earth worlds like of resources put together. Something that advanced that they could make that not
they need like
the
a
sun,
whole star empire.
They would be able to travel to us in less than 1,500 years. Someone who with that capable technology could travel to us in the blink of an eye if they wanted to. But if they did exist, then they obviously aren't here, which means we don't interest them. Just like if we see an ant, we don't give a fuck. Yeah, that's my theory. Let me break it down further, because I learned this too.
Break it down.
Let me break it down, guys.
Brandon lays it down.
Let's talk about chimpanzees for a minute, okay?
All right, let's do it.
What is the difference in DNA between a chimpanzee and a human?
Well, it's like less than 5%.
So what I've learned is like it's a percent. It's like 1%.
Yeah.
So the 1% difference between us and chimpanzees is incredible. The smartest chimpanzee in the world can learn sign language. That's something that our like 2-year-olds can learn. So the smartest chimps in the world with 1% DNA difference are as smart as our toddlers. Now, you take a civilization out there, if it exists, can you imagine what they would be like if they were at least 1% higher than us? We can invent telescopes and think of quantum theories and physics. 1% higher than us, like the analogy that Tyson used was, imagine them wheeling up Stephen Hawking to one of their toddlers and be like, look, Stephen Hawking, he talks about black holes and he's so smart. Our little toddler Jimmy here, he did that in, like, first grade. So they would be on a, just from, like I said, a 1% difference in DNA would be on a massive scale we can't even fathom. So we wouldn't even know the technology used to build that. We wouldn't even know the technology to detect them. They could travel here and back. And, yeah, they would be so advanced, they don't even want to bother with us, is what I'm saying.
Well, then that does on certain scopes actually explain.
And that's if they're only like a 1% difference, if even.
You know, the theories that, you know, of certain UFOs that aren't government projects that are just, they observe and they're like, all right, well, enough of that.
And I could be ranting because I have no idea what I'm talking about. But
it sounds
I think
like
it's
you
a
do.
Good analogy between us and chimps is less than a percentage difference. And it's worlds apart. They will never understand what we're even doing. And it's the same thing out there, I imagine.
Well, there's a lot more variables out there.
Exactly.
So.
Perhaps they have no DNA.
Yeah, and their technology, we might not be able to detect anything.
They're wormhole beings.
Emitting.
Yeah. Maybe they grabbed that object out of another dimension and just like ours, put it there. They didn't even build it. They stole that shit from another dimension that already existed. They just like moved it. It's just like Babylon 5, guys. If anyone's seen
maybe
that,
it's like, it's like did you watch 5. Invader Zim?
Oh, yeah.
Planet well, Jackers.
They had a, they basically made a Dyson sphere around a planet.
Yeah, and, like, to steal it.
Man, that, the Invader Zim comic is so good to derail in a completely different direction.
No, we need to end this conversation because like, I could talk more and I don't want
if
to.
If you haven't read it yet, it's not collected yet, but the Invader Zim comic is so fucking good. I am amazed. Every single issue, it is just like watching the show at its prime.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It is. Oh, I it is. It, I just fucking laugh out loud laughing the entire time.
They're still making new ones?
No, not the, the comic book. As of like 4 months ago, Jonan Vasquez and the and like other high-powered team members of Invader Zim together making Invader Zim comic.
What's I'm saying? Great. There's a new comic.
There's still, a new comic.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
Because there used to be a comic.
There did.
I thought there were Invader Zim comics back in the day. Like,
is that what your brain is telling you?
Are you talking about Johnny the Homicidal Maniac?
No, because I have that one. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there never was an Invader Zim comic.
To my knowledge, there hasn't been.
Right.
But there is now.
It's time, I guess.
And it's great. And the first, for the first issue has Zim having been gone for an undetermined amount of time, and Dib has sequestered himself into his room, having observed the Zim household for all this time, you know, who knows how long, seemingly years, and he's just turned into this disgusting, pasty, zit-covered, morbidly obese teenager,
and
which Zim did just as a prank. He's like, yeah, he disappeared completely, only so Dib would drive himself insane and become disgusting, and then he could point Dib's disgustingness out to everyone in the rest of the... He broadcasts it to the universe.
That's a really... God, that's a good plan.
And this past issue I just read was a one-shot where the Tallest send Zim, just as a joke, a tube of waste matter that they tell him is a secret weapon and that he has to do special things to.
I'm on board already. I need these.
they tell him like all this different stuff to get him beat up. And then they get exhausted with it and they're like, no, it's all over. They're coming for you, Zim. Like, just protect it with your life. And so then they cut off
the feed
and leave Zim to his own paranoia. Trying to defend this glob of like turd garbage.
Do they have a volume out yet, or just individual?
It hasn't been collected yet. It's only 4 issues in. But
oh man, I'm gonna collect it. It's gonna happen.
It's head to your comic book store. They have been publishing like third and fourth editions of it because it is selling like hotcakes. So
I can really only buy like one or two hotcakes before I'm sick of them.
I could eat like 6 or 7.
Dude, we jumped up Doug's butt about this not too long ago. About Doug was like, man, Pancake Buffet, I'm just not interested in a Pancake Buffet. And you and I both exchanged glances. We're like, dude, you don't even know. Now you're telling me that you can only eat 2 hotcakes?
Have you been to the Pancake Springs?
I can't eat much of anything, though. Have you ever eaten around
That's
me?
True. You do eat nothing but like Soylent Liquid now.
Yeah.
You're all skin and bones. You need
I'll
to eat
like
more.
One or two bites and I'm done. But if there was like a bunch of different kinds of pancakes, then, you know, maybe
which
I'd
is what
have
Doug
a,
said.
Which I would have a bite of each, but I wouldn't eat more.
You know, anorexia is a disease, right?
I do.
Okay. All right, moving on.
Pickle and Peanut. How about that?
Oh, it's so good. What little I've seen.
We've been meaning to talk about this. We just haven't yet. There's a show. It's on Disney, guys.
And immediately I was like, whatever. I don't give a shit.
It's on Disney XD, and this is one of the crudest, like, let's call it young adult children shows that has existed in ages.
I mean, I don't actually know how it exists on Disney. I don't know how.
Yeah,
they got
that
away
was
with it.
The surprise for me. It was on Disney because it looks
Disney.
Like it should be an Adult Swim. Because
all you need to know about the first episode is Grandma Jail.
It's amazing, and like
it reminds me a little of Ren and Stimpy.
It's very much Ren and Stimpy. It's about a pickle and a peanut. They're anthropomorphic
really?
Pickle and peanut. They're cool bros. They hang out. They just do whatever. Peanut or Pickle is voiced by John Heater, who was Napoleon Dynamite, and they rule this crudely drawn world of just freaky crap everywhere.
And sometimes Muppets. I'm sorry, puppets.
It has cutaways to like live action sequences that are super strange, and the animation style changes on occasion. And it's like an Adult Swim show, but it's for young people and younger people, let's say, and they push the boundaries of what they can get away with and the sexual innuendo and like
honestly all you would need to make an Adult Swim show is just put in one dick joke in every episode. Like, yeah, literally say the basically. Word dick, and it's an Adult Swim show. They've got everything else down.
I mean, there's scenes where they're, like, not dropping F-bombs, but are saying things that may as well be.
Right.
And when they can't say, when they can't just outright say shit, they'll say weird stuff like that I've never heard before, like lawn cigars.
I am just imagining, my brain is telling, what lawn cigars are. You know?
I was like, damn, that's the most clever way of saying dog turds I've ever fucking heard.
I was picturing a dog turd, but it ends on fire, so yeah.
There was a couple of phrases from that show that I really wanted to like incorporate into my vocabulary, but I just can't even remember them anymore because they were so weird so that I couldn't keep them in my brain.
If you can check it out, the best introduction is their I guess pilot episode maybe. It's episode zero sometimes is labeled as. It's called Grandma Jail.
It's really good. It's hard to find.
Yeah, I mean, if you have cable, some on-demand services will play you some episodes. Check it out. Look for Pickle and Peanut. Do yourself a favor. One of the weirdest things I think about it is that the people who created it, Noah Z. Jones and the guy who developed it, Joel Trussell, I have never seen anything they've been involved with. These guys came out of nowhere.
Well, they did some stuff before that I read that I can't remember, but they've done some stuff before.
Like, Trussell did some segments for Yo Gabba Gabba in the past, and Jones did a show called Fish Hooks, which I think I heard of once, and something called Almost Naked Animals, which I definitely didn't hear about. I usually acquire this knowledge, and I've got nothing, but then Pickle and Peanut shows up out of nowhere and destroys my entire world in the best way possible. So if we can, we'll link to where you can watch some online. They might still have some streaming, because I know the first episodes we all saw were free on the Disney website. But check out Pickle and Peanut, because it's...
Man, I really fucking hate Disney. I hate their theme parks. I hate their fucking cartoons. This one is amazing. And that says a lot, because I really hate Disney. So please go watch Pickle and Peanut. No, seriously, like everything they fucking do, I hate. I fucking hate it. And this show is amazing, so I'm really got to rethink that.
Wait,
now.
Gravity Falls?
It's all right. I'm not a huge fan like you guys. I'm sorry. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's not as humorous to me as Pickle and Peanut is. Not by a long shot.
I like Gravity Falls way better.
It's probably more clever. That's probably why I don't enjoy it. I mean, it's over my head.
Gravity Falls is Twin Peaks for kids. That's how I've always branded it. Like, I feel like I can stand behind that description.
Well, Twin Peaks is over my head, and a Twin Peaks for kids is still over my head, which is probably why I don't enjoy it as much as you guys.
But Pickle and Peanut's for everybody, I guess.
No, I can enjoy that instantly.
To be honest with you guys, it's not.
I
didn't really like it.
What did you not like?
It just didn't do anything for me. I never got into Aqua Teen Hunger
Force.
Too
much slapstick humor.
I don't know. I super loved it. I loved the first episode. The second episode, I was kind of like, eh.
They did say at the end,
and
next
then
episode
started,
better.
They started to lose me. After about three episodes, I was like, I don't know if I can keep watching this. It's so weird.
Just because it's weird. No.
Maybe I'll go back to it and I'll fall in love again, but I did really love it at first, and then it kind of like wore me down.
You think they made the Grandma Jail episode, and then they were like, guys, we let you get away with this episode, but that was way too much.
Grandma Jail is a high watermark, but then, and then watching it, and this is true of many, many shows in their first season, it was decent, but then... It, like, about five episodes in, it started to, like, really hit that Grandma Jail mark again. Like,
so it gets back up to there?
Like, the sweet, boy challenge.
So you were almost there about, like, an episode.
Yeah, like, if there's... I've pulled up an episode guide, and I can tell you the best ones, but there's the sweet boy challenge where...
That one was great.
Where Pickle and Peanut are in a mall, and they find out this taffy company is doing this, like... challenge for like young boys to become the mascot for their candy company, and
it's really
and creepy. they've been fucking around the cosmetics department of a department store, and so Peanut was wearing a woman's wig, and this guy
and lots of makeup.
This guy mistakes him for Pickle's mom, and so he enters Pickle in the young boy taffy contest, the sweet boy taffy contest, to be like just all these strange young boys being as sweet as possible, like burping into a napkin and comforting grandma on stage. And it's...
I did like the dead grandmother, the dead grandpa. I don't know if it was
a grandma, but like it gets super weird. And there's this contestant named Candy who's this like who's hermetically sealed in like a container, and his mom takes him out. And, like, he's in a plastic bag.
What?
Yeah, his face is wrapped in, like, plastic, and he takes it off.
He looks like a gray alien.
Yeah. And He's really creepy, and he like goes up to Pico, and he's like,
I'm so loose and limber.
Yeah, that's what he sounds like, and he goes up to Pico, he's like, you look so sweet, and he starts like licking his face while grinning.
I will end you.
That's literally what he sounds, exactly what he sounds like, and it's really creepy.
I guess I did really like the one where they learned how to swim.
See, I didn't see that one.
Really?
And I still don't know how to swim in real life.
What was the kid's name? There's like a kid that...
Oh, yeah. What is that kid's name? He's a reoccurring character.
Yeah, I thought he was.
Because he was in the Falconing episode. There's an episode you haven't seen about Falconing.
Why have you not brought this up to me? Do you not think I would be interested in it?
Oh, yeah. I saw the Falconing one, too.
Falconing. The Falconing.
And that's where Pickle Jr. comes from there. And the Pickle's little green blob bird. And he's a reoccurring character, too. Anyway, this has probably gotten too in-depth for a show that no one's seen yet, but you should definitely check it out, because this show is fucking great. Or maybe you won't like it.
At least watch Grandma, J.O., because that is my favorite so far.
Sometime within, like, the last week, because I don't remember the date on the article that I read, but there is finally a, like, official 8th Harry Potter story.
She's like, I need more money.
It's that, or... Yeah, I don't know, because she's
like years ago. They need another expansion of Universal.
If it was about money, I don't think she would be doing this. Because it's not a book, it's a stage play.
Yeah, that's the thing that weirdest to me about the entire thing is that it's a stage play and not a book.
Is this like a Broadway musical or just a play?
It's in London's West End.
Oh man, that's West End.
Which you and I know is the best end.
That's actually what it says on the building, so yes.
Which the thing that stands out to me about it is like what a really strange way to make it like next to impossible for people to actually like experience the thing because you can only you have to go to the play to see it.
By the time you're hearing this episode, tickets have already gone on sale, and I'm pretty sure your chances of seeing it are fucked.
Next year, maybe.
If you do go, let us know.
And it's split into two parts.
Just so like you're the last movie.
Yeah, you're only going to get, like, the chances you're going to get tickets to both parts is...
Is so, that how it's... I mean, I knew it was in two parts, but is that how, like...
How long it is?
They're like for real, like, you can't buy tickets for... That's fucked up. If that's how they're doing it, that's fucked up.
It's just like the train ride between both theme parks. You need a ticket for each
They'll release a DVD. They'll record it.
Or you'll get
this. They totally will.
Someone will sneak a phone in and... Yeah. So, what's the name of it?
Like, it's called...
Harry Potter and the Cash Grab.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Is it about his child?
Yes, actually. It's about, I think it's the middle son or the youngest one, whichever.
Snape, Weasley, Hermione Potter?
Yes.
Okay.
Albus Severus.
Oh, God.
The one named after Dumbledore and Snape.
Yep.
But,
Daddy, what if they put me in Slytherin? I've known some great man in Slytherin. They'd be honored to have you, and so would I. I think that's the last scene in Harry Potter.
Shit, it's like we got our own version of Wizard People Dear Readers here tonight.
Yep. Oculus repair it. Actually, he doesn't even fucking know how to repair glasses. What a shitty wizard. Seriously.
Oh, you wanna...
He doesn't do any magic. Sorry.
Here's the synopsis.
It was always difficult being Harry Potter, and it isn't much easier now that he's an overworked employee of the Ministry of Magic. A husband and father of three school-age children. While Harry grapples with the...
What is he? Is he got a Cockney accent? He's not a Cockney kind of guy.
While Harry grapples with a past that refused to stay where it belongs, his youngest son, Albus, must struggle with the weight of a family legacy he never wanted. As past and present fuse ominously... Both father and son learn the uncomfortable truth. Sometimes darkness comes from unexpected crevices.
Isn't he like world renowned and should have all the pull money, sway, and chicks and do whatever he wants? Be like, you don't need to go to school. You don't need to do this. We live in a mansion. I'm fucking Harry Potter. Like, not literally. Like, he is Harry Potter. But yeah. Like, he's like the most famous wizard, even though he doesn't do magic. He could do anything. It just sounds like he could solve all the problems, really. And like,
is there
quickly.
A make money up here spell?
Yes! It's an illusion, but yes.
I've never read Harry Potter, and I don't really care to. And I would have gladly watched all the films, but I kind of stopped after Goblet of Fire, and I didn't pick it up again. I would have,
but it gets
real,
man. It gets like X-Men real.
I saw the first movie. That's my whole experience with Harry Potter, other than going to Universal.
Well, I've read the books, but I've watched like one or two of them.
I've eaten at Hogsmeade.
Do you enjoy the books? Because I haven't read them.
I read them growing up because I think the first one came out when I was like 11 or 12.
I forgot that they've been out for a long time.
It's been almost a full decade since the seventh book.
Oh, so, yeah. You were 11 or 12 a decade ago. I was old.
You're not that old, Brandon.
Oh, I'm like 10 years older. Anyway.
Anyway, it's a thing. Yeah, so like...
I would watch it. I mean, just for the sheer comedy of like, when they cast a spell, are they going to throw ribbons out? Like red ribbons? And it's like, oh, you're bleeding.
Well, the cast is over, like has like over 30 people, and the split between the two parts is, quote, due to the epic nature of the story.
Patrick Stewart's in it.
One time somebody tried to make me watch the Harry Potter musical, and I can't recall a time I've ever been more angry.
J.K. Rowling said, the story only exists because the right group of people came together with a brilliant idea about how to present Harry Potter on stage. I'm confident that when audiences see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, they will understand why we chose to tell the story in this way. I don't want to see the character that I like then go on to be like, all right, so you're a dad now and you've got kids and
what's probably about his child.
Yeah, now it just sounds like, oh, Harry Potter is now mundane.
Yeah.
He's bogged down in the mundane realities of real life.
I don't know. Like, Kat, what are those suits people wear in place to not be seen, like the solid black suit?
Morph suit?
Is that like in the, well, they have like a specific name.
Yeah, black morph suit.
Oh, okay, a black morph suit. But I really want to see Harry Potter play where like they'll shoot a spell and a guy in a black morph suit will be holding the spell and floating it across the stage. And you're like, I'll be staring at the dude and you're not supposed to. And I'm like, oh. I think that would be amazing.
I think I saw his dick.
I don't know why you would need two plays unless they're like 5 hours each. That's fucking stupid in my opinion. But I would go see it.
Why did I get this on Blu-ray?
I'm not a huge fan of Harry Potter, but I would see a play version just for the sheer joy of seeing how the fuck they're going to portray it and act it out, like with no special effects whatsoever. I really want to see how they make it interesting without visual effects that I'm used to.
Spoiler alert, they might not.
Oh, yeah.
You can
always walk out.
It has a huge cast, but there's no props, there's no effects. It's all like
mime. Wait, seriously?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, you know this?
it's coming out next summer.
Imagine I just shoot a boat at him.
It's a silent mimery. That's what it's called, right? Silent mimery. Mammaries.
It's a little redundant, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I guess it is, isn't it? Yep. Whoops.
They just have a guy on the side doing all the onomatopoeia and the exposition.
And now a lightning bolt shoots across the stage.
Harry shot a lightning bolt that day. Pew. If you had tickets tomorrow and your trip to London was paid for, would you go see it? Dude, free tickets and you have a free trip and you're thinking about it? You're like, oh, someone's going to pay my entire way to London and give me free tickets,
like,
and you're like,
why would I say no? It was like,
you're thinking about what reason can I find to get out of this?
It's like when it's all paid for.
What if they don't pay for your plane ride, but you got tickets?
I'm trying to think of something that I wouldn't do if it was all paid for.
What if they got, got these really rare tickets, like no one else will have be able to try to buy these in like 2 years. You have no plane ride yet, but you have the tickets. Would you go? You're eBay. One of like the only people to see it.
eBay.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go.
I think as long as I wasn't getting sexually assaulted or something, I would go pretty much anything if it was all expenses paid. Why not?
No, now I'm saying like, no, you don't get a free plane ride. You just have the tickets that are really rare.
Oh, well, screw that. I'll sell them on eBay.
It's not worth it.
Straight to eBay.
Guys, what if there was a time when the eBay didn't exist?
I'd walk around on the street corner and be like, hey, I got tickets to this shit.
You'd
buy
have to do
it.
That
it
in takes, London. Takes... You'd have to go there to sell
it. No, I wouldn't.
You could do it in New York.
Get your tickets.
Maybe. Just go to fucking Universal Studios.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Pedal on the street corners.
They might arrest you for that.
They might, but they'd have to catch you first.
You'll never catch me. I'm selling tickets.
I'll put on my cloak of invisibility.
Greased up deaf guy.
Would you want to hear something funny about Uncharted?
Yeah, tell me something funny about Uncharted.
So I have the Uncharted collection sitting at home untouched because I need to beat Metal Gear 5 before Fallout comes out, because I've played Uncharted but I needed it. So they've upped it from 30 frames to 60 frames, blah blah blah, better graphics, better shaders, whatever. The funny thing behind this is that all the assets they needed to port this game, they didn't label any of them. And there were like thousands upon thousands. And they had to go through so many files. And they realized they were missing a huge chunk of the game they used to develop in the first place. They were like, they would have to recreate, like, from the ground up a lot of the games. And they're like, oh shit, what did we do with that file? So one of the co-presidents has an old PC sitting on the ground in his office that he's not using, and they find the backup files on that, and they make sure, or they hook it up. They just found a random old computer no one was using with the backup data of fucking Uncharted 1, 2, and 3 that they need to make it a port without starting over.
Oh, geez.
And they hook it up, and it's like, oh god, it's not corrupted, thank you. And then, and then they were able to put out the collection, or else it would have taken them forever.
Oh my fucking god.
And even with that, they still had to recreate a lot of the cutscenes, because switching to 60 FPS, they had to make sure that it wasn't all fucked up. I don't know that what, you know, how that works, but yeah.
Didn't Square scrap a lot of stuff, like, immediately after they were done with games? Isn't that...
They burn it.
Oh, man.
That's Jim, Jim Henson.
I've never heard... What?
As soon as Farscape was done, they burnt all of the Muppets and everything, and then they were like, oh, we're making a movie. And then they all look different now. Sorry, they did that. It's fucked up.
I didn't know about
that. Yeah, they destroyed everything, and then they made a movie, and so the enemies and some of the characters look different.
Huh.
Yeah.
Weird. Wonder why they do that.
Not enough space. So anyway, that was my snippet of Uncharted trivia, and I hope to play it someday before the fourth comes out.
We got to give some shout outs to some awesome folks. We got a one time donation from Owen Viao.
Only one time?
One time.
Like, he's like, no more.
He loved you one time. we have the ability. You can subscribe to us on Patreon at whatever amount you want monthly and get all kinds of cool perks. Or if you are able to just give a one time donation, you can go to nerdyshow.com/support, type in your donation amount, any special message you want, and donate.
Oh, see, that's what you mean.
And that is what Owen did.
I thought he sent a message like, this is the only time, guys.
No.
Done.
And you will get perks if you do that. A special archive of old school perks. But it's extensive. It's still hours of material, including the alternate reality D&D episode 25 that is out of continuity.
Do you get the perk where if you shoot rats, they explode instead of just die? He gets it. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
I don't
get Fallout.
It, yes.
Fallout jokes. Okay.
Oh. So Owen, thank you so much. I'm sorry for not knowing how to pronounce your last name, but
you tried, and that's important.
Viao. It looks cool though. Looks like a spaceship name. Anyway,
cool-looking spaceship.
We also have a new patron, the mysterious John Smith, Pocahontas' number one squeeze.
Oh, jeez. I think it's the other
way.
Well,
no, it actually might be the number three squeeze after Miko the raccoon and that sexy tree lady.
Yeah, no, I think Pocahontas was squeezed by John Smith, not the other way around. Sorry, they juiced them back then. They had to squeeze them real tight so they wouldn't remember.
And we also have a bunch of one-time donations from the Krugers, but I separated them because, as you listeners may remember, the Krugers always do something very special. So they have included messages with their one-time donations so that they form a very special, presentation.
To protect ourselves from dehydration.
To unite all players within our nation.
To denounce the limits of data plans.
To extend our games with phones in hand.
Caitlin.
Ethan.
Team donate dash off at the speed of light.
Catching shiny boodoofs all day and night.
Pokemon Go. That's right.
Yep. They're super psyched for Pokemon Go.
Catching shiny Bidoofs day and night. That's like shiny back in the day. You know how fucking hard it was to get one shiny? Holy shit. It took me forever.
Well, 20 these guys
hours
are pros.
To get a shiny Luxray with the right like attitude that I wanted.
I got one super easily.
Yeah, but did you get the right like attitude so his stats were the right way?
I got him any way that I wanted him because I fucking hacked the ROM.
And then you
snap.
Yeah, some of us aren't cheaters and like to feel accomplished in life. Thank you.
Da-da-da, I just hacked it.
Well, I would hack real life if I could. Yeah.
Pokemon Go comes out on November 20th. So
we talked about that at some point.
We did. We'll link to that episode where we talked about that at length there.
Is it about a character that finds Pokemon and he's just like, go! Like, get out of here! Edit that out.
Get out of here, Pokemon.
That one didn't make it into the episode, please.
It's an old man screaming, get out of here, get off my lawn!
Go!
God. Yeah, it's like the end of White Fang. You just throw rocks at the sad
dog. Why are all these dicklets coming out of my yard?
Dicklets.
Fucking go. And
it's
haunted
just like
vaginas.
The end of Old Yeller. Oh, Jerry. Yes, there's dogs.
Oh, jeez. So thank you, Krugers. Thank you, John Smith. Thank you, Owen, for contributing to Nerdy Show, because we are entirely listener-supported. We rely on you to both pay the bills, spread the word. We do what we can here, but we're just a bunch of schlubs with day jobs trying to make it in this podcast world, and we legit couldn't do it without you.
And I really, really hate my day job.
So help us remove the day job problems, cancers from our bodies.
Yeah, send millions of dollars.
Mine are malignant, so I don't know if that's possible.
And even if you subscribe at a dollar a month on Patreon, that makes a huge difference. If you look at the other Patreons out there...
A ridiculous amount of difference, actually.
Yeah, if you look at the other Patreons out there, there's lots of folks who are just given a small amount, and even that makes it just changes the whole world. Now, we have a lot of people who are super awesome and super generous, giving way more than a dollar per month, and that's amazing. But we know we have a lot more listeners than the handful of folks on Patreon, so if you can... That would, and you love these shows and you want more of these shows, it's the best way to ensure it, because the older we get, the more time goes on, the harder and harder it is to make doing this make sense.
You remember how old charities, they'd be like, oh, for the price of a cup of coffee, you know, like.
What do you mean old? Have you seen NPR every other month?
Do they still do that?
Yes. It's like you buy coffee every day. Coffee's as much as our program costs.
Coffee's like, yeah, $5 or something now.
What is it now? It's Starbucks. Where the fuck are you buying coffee,
Well,
dude?
You're buying it from a can with nitrogen.
Okay,
you just
the nitrogen costs more than the coffee. That's why, I think.
Right, but that's like a fifth of a cup of coffee a month makes a huge amount of difference to us.
Or you could contribute $1,200 and become a Nerdy Show Cornerstone member.
If you do that, we will invent
$1,200 a year,
Cornerstone level for you, because I don't know.
You get tickets to David Sedaris and...
do not actually get tickets to right now.
for the $1,200 a month Patreon month. Level, you can rent out a room in Cap's house.
There's 12 months in the year. There's that's if you gave $100 a month, that's $1,200, right?
And you're spending that much on coffee anyway.
We already have that tier. That already exists, and there are already people in that tier.
No, $1,200 a month.
Oh, a month.
Yeah, and
that's very different.
And then you can have a room in Cap's house.
Well, we're in the spare room in Cap's house
right
now.
We'll move the studio somewhere else.
We'll build another one.
Yeah, that's fine.
We would like to have a real office someday. That might actually enhance productivity.
Yeah.
As far as events coming up, Jonathan from Wicked Anime and I will be at ShadowCon in Tampa.
I will be too.
You will be too? We haven't talked about that.
I'm actually going to be there too.
I'm going to be there, but I might not be able to participate in anything that you're doing.
Okay. Well, on Saturday, we're going to be doing some stage shows, including the Hardcore Anime with Wicked Anime, the famous Wicked Anime segment, as well as a panel on waifus, which will be interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to be in the main events room the entire time.
Waifus as in wives? Wives? What are waifus? I didn't take that much Japanese.
You need to get with the anime crowd.
It's like, she's my waifu.
Yeah.
It's a concept that I will admit that I'm not familiar with the true limitations of what the word can mean.
There might not be any limitations.
There might not be. But what it means at its core is a
having wife-like properties.
A fictional entity. There's waifus, there's waifus, and there's husbandos.
I've never heard husbandos.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Husbandos.
I'm not making this up. And it's a fictional character whom you apply affection towards.
This sounds like a terrible Doctor Who episode where you land on a planet filled with husbandos and waifus.
And then what happens?
No, nothing. That's normal Doctor Who episode. Nothing happens.
So we're going to be talking about, having feels, sexual or otherwise, towards fictional characters.
Well, we all have that. Come on.
I think so, but what I'm interested to discover... Right, Gadget, sure. What I'm interested to discover is... is Jonathan's well-informed definition of how far this terminology goes. Do you have commitment to this fictional character?
To this waifu.
How far does the rabbit hole go? I don't know. How unhealthy is it to have a waifu? I don't know.
To me, the rabbit hole would just be like painted on a wall, and trying to go down it would be like smacking into a wall.
What kind of rabbit?
It really doesn't matter.
I think it matters, guys.
And then the following week, if everything goes according to plan, Aaron and I will be at North Carolina Comic Con. So if you're in Durham or anywhere near Durham, you should come out for North Carolina Comic Con.
NCCC.
NCCC. We will be there doing stuff.
Where's ShadowCon?
ShadowCon's in Tampa.
Tampa. Yeah, and if you go to ShadowCon, if anybody is there that will recognize me, me and Neil Faust will be in the main events room.
Well, you
the
wear a hat time. That has your name on it.
I might.
Isn't ShadowCon a
I actually probably will.
Something I want to make sure that everybody knows about is, if you're not following us on our social feeds, you totally should, because there is an event happening in November in Orlando at the Geekeasy. Epic Piecast is doing a live recording on Sunday, November 29th. Myself, Nelson Lugo, Schaefer the Dark Lord, doing a live show recording, followed immediately by a magic show from Nelson and a Nerdcore concert from Schaefer. So come out for the Rap Magic Pod show and do it with stuff all night. Taking us out is a track in celebration of the return of Adventure Time. It's been about 5 months since the last season ended, and season 7 debuted this week. And in 2 weeks, they'll actually start a all new first for them. It's a 7-part long form story about Marceline called Stakes. If you want to hear more about that, well, we've got an article on that miniseries, as well as the upcoming Adventure Time movie on nerdyshow.com, which we'll link to. And we've also got a perk for patrons at $5 and up, where you can hear the press roundtable that we attended with the cast and crew of Adventure Time at San Diego Comic-Con. What we've got here, the music, is a piece of score now in rotation on Nerdy FM for an Adventure Time VR game called Magic Man's Head Games. It came out recently, and it looks really cool, and you can play it if you've got a Samsung Gear VR headset. I don't know who you are, but if you are out there and you have one of these, let us know how it is, please. I would really like to know. This is the game's main theme, and it's a beautiful piece of music by Eric Desiderio. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com and be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Can I get my dial down just a hair? It's a hair of a hair.
Don't
of
touch
dial.
My dial.
That one?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, don't, the don't hair turn of the dial. Oh.
Don't touch that dial.
Begoshin Begora. The hair of the dial.
Oh, shit. We got fucking Uncle Scrooge's dick in here.
Ah, Uncle Scrooge's dick.
All right, so
put that on a shirt too, please. Like, no picture. It just says Uncle Scrooge's dick.
It's
big,
it's
bold,
white shirt.
Letters.
Otherwise, it's not going to have very much
for the dollar
it's
sign.
Have a bit, of, like, a, yeah, it's a bit like, of a splodge on it.
Uncle Scrooge's dick. The S is a dollar sign.
A dollar sign, and the C is a cent sign.
There you go, Uncle Scrooge's
the
dick.
The C is for my cock.
That'll be on the back. Just no fucking reason. For no Jeez, fucking
for
reason.
Cock.
And like
that's
a stack of coins with like one tall stack and then two little stacks.
No, two bags of money. Yeah. A tall sack of coins. Yes. And then, on the top of the sack of coins, you could have the little vase one he has with the one like special dollar coin.
The number one dime.
Yeah, so it looks like a round, like a kind of, yeah, like oval shape with a
this
sack
is,
of coins.
This is the most ballast.
Write these down. Scrooge. We forget every time.
I recorded it.
Oh, it's... shit. This is recording?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, my God. We're on the air?
We're live?
Oh, shit. All on right. My dick.
What do you want to talk about, Matt?
Want to talk about some grandma's?
How are your testicles? Do they look more like a D6 or a D20 or D4? Which D does your D look like?
Whoa.
Is one a D20 and one a D6? I hear that happens.
Maybe.
Okay, we got a maybe.
Maybe they're both D4s and really pointy.
That is disgusting.
Yeah.
Are we talking about length?
You got what's pyramid power.
Are you like writing an equation? It looks like you're like, we're saying D20 and D4, and you're like writing. Like, what are the math on that?
What are the math
are,
on
what
that?
What are the math on
what
those?
What are the math on that?
If my testicle was a D20 and a D4, what is the math?
What is the
what
math,
are math
on that?
Where are the math?